Hi, this is Doug Fain. A very special program of All Things Jessamine is coming our way. On Saturday, November the 12th, we will have our 100th episode. We started broadcasting All Things Jessamine December the 20th, 2014, and we're up to episode number 100. What we're going to do that Saturday morning, we'll be on the air for an hour from 11 to 12 on Saturday the 12th, and we're inviting past guests to come to the studio and say hello. Even if you haven't been a guest, you just listen to our program, come on down to the radio station that morning between 11 and 12 and see us and say hi to us on the air. We'll be reminiscing about past guests and probably even play some clips from some of the past shows. Now, our station door is on Main Street. We're right between the Jessamine County PVA and the Adams Arugian Law Office. You'll see the sign Jess FM on our door. Come in, up the steps, there we are. Saturday, November the 12th from 11 to 12, the 100th episode of All Things Jessamine right here on Jess FM 105.9. Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to talk to Brian Mason. Brian is the son of Jesse and Nadine Mason. We'll talk about his family and some memories that he has of Jessamine County right after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville, and they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here, still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday morning as we continue to remember people, places, and things of Jessamine County. Well, with me today is a fellow I went to school with. His family's been around for, oh gosh, quite a long time here in our community. His name is Brian Mason. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Doug.
Glad to have you along, and we're going to do some remembering this morning. The Masons have been in this county for quite a few years. Do you know how far back you go? Do you have any idea?
Time-wise, I don't, but I do know my grandfather was a farmer out on Union Mill, and he started with his father-in-law. He was an orphan and pretty much made his own way. And he and his father-in-law had farms out on Union Mill, which were, they were two farms. And when the Depression hit, they merged the farms in order to keep both places during the Depression, which after my grandfather's father-in-law passed, and he took over the farm and farmed it until he retired and moved to town.
What was his name?
Clay Mason.
Clay. You know, one of my best remembrances of him, and this was back when times were so much different and you knew everybody around and the traffic was light, even on roads like that. But I remember as a young boy, because we lived on out past him, coming by there many times, and he'd be sitting in his car at the mailbox on Union Mill, sleep. He would fall asleep sitting in the car. And, of course, you know, we'd just roll up, and my dad, you know, Mr. Mason, wake him up, and he'd go on in. Wasn't no big deal. But you could do that. You know, back then it wasn't a danger and all that. Now, your grandmother, what was her name?
Beulah.
Was she a housewife? Did she have a
outside job? She was a housewife. And she had a little egg business.
Okay.
Gathered eggs through the week.
Yeah.
And on Saturdays, my grandfather would bring her in, and she had customers that she sold eggs to.
You guys, I guess, spent a lot of time out on that farm.
Worked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, worked it. And we did tobacco. We did hay, cattle. We did it all.
Hard life.
Hard work. Farming's hard work. Anybody says farming's not hard work, they don't know farming.
You know, I helped my aunt and uncle and grandmother tobacco for 2 years and decided it was time to come down and give me another job. That's when I came and got behind a radio mic. You know, a whole lot easier than standing on that wagon handing that tobacco up in that barn. All right, so your grandparents decided at some point to have a family.
Yeah.
Tell us about those children.
I had my father, who was the oldest, and then there were three girls, my Aunt Ida, and my Aunt Beulah, and my Aunt Jenny. And today, there's only one aunt that's living, or still living, and that's my Aunt Beulah, who is in Richmond, Virginia.
But your dad, Jesse, was the only boy?
Only boy.
And the oldest.
And the oldest. Yeah.
So Jesse, what did he, just work the farm and until he got married? Did he have any kind of outside education? What? Tell us a little bit about your dad's life.
He went to Kentucky State.
Yeah.
The college, and ran track.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got out of Kentucky State or finished Kentucky State, then he went to the military.
Okay.
And he was a radio man.
Really?
For the Air Force. And after that, he met my biological mother in Wichita, Kansas, out there when he was stationed there in Kansas. And they got married and came back. He started a family here.
Was he the first of the line to go to college?
Oh, they all went to college.
But I mean, did either one of your grandparents go?
No.
Okay, so he was kind of the first one.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
First
but all
generation.
All the girls went to college as well. My Aunt Beulah was a nurse, and the two other ones, my Aunt Ida as well as my Aunt Jenny, they were teachers.
Mm-hmm.
But they all did well.
Yeah.
My Aunt Beulah, like I said, was in Richmond. My Aunt Ida was in Michigan, Detroit, Michigan. And then my Aunt Jenny, she taught in the Cincinnati school system.
Okay. All left except your dad.
Right.
But he brought a wife back home.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
When would that have been, Brian?
In the 50s.
Okay.
In the 50s. Lawrence was born. He was the firstborn of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then my sister and then Adrian and myself. We are the youngest. Well, I'm the youngest. Adrian is six minutes older than I am.
6 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't let him forget that, do you?
Oh, no. Can't let him forget it.
So four of you kids. Now, when your dad came back home from the military, what line of work did he do?
Dad was an entrepreneur, so to speak. He was in, of course, car sales. He had a car lot. He was here in Nicholsville.
Where was that located?
The first lot was up behind the old jail.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, was it by the church then, First Baptist?
Right. Okay. Across from the church behind the old jail there.
Okay.
And then he later moved to Maple Street.
Yeah.
Where the jail is now.
The current jail.
Right.
In that lot.
Right. And then he moved down the street before he retired. Father on Maple Street toward Main Street by the old OK Liquor down there.
Yeah. Okay. So that was the car lot business. And he did other things too.
He was a builder. He built houses, and we helped him, of course.
Yeah.
Learned that business.
Yeah.
Of course, we learned the car business, but he got into a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
But he was the first black used car, licensed used car dealer in the state of Kentucky.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. What about, that's one of the reasons that I like to do this show, is because there are so many people that I have interviewed who I feel like I've known forever, you included. You know, we go back to playing ball out at when they used to do it at the high school. Babe Ruth and Little League. But you learn all these cool things that you just never did know. And he was the first one in the state. Well, that's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He sold chairs. My gosh, what didn't he do? I mean, you're right. He just kind of had his finger into everything, didn't he?
If he thought he could make a dollar, then
he'd do it.
That's what he'd do, or tried. he was pretty special. But he always, of course, took care of his family.
Right.
It was rough times then, of course, at times.
Yeah.
My biological mother died in 1963.
So you were just, what, two?
Yeah. I mean, she died when Adrian and myself were 9 months old. He remarried in 1963.
9 months?
Yeah. Yeah. So
he
had an older son and a daughter and two 9-month-old children that he had to raise. So
is it okay to ask what happened to your mom?
She had a muscular dystrophy.
Oh.
Condition. It was called myasthenia gravis.
I've heard of it. Yes.
Of course, it's treatable now, but back then it wasn't.
Yeah.
She passed.
Yeah. Sad. Yeah. So you really don't have any memories of your mom, 9 months old.
Adrian and myself don't.
Yeah.
No.
Right. But now, how old was your brother and sister at that time?
Lawrence was, I think, 10, and Diane was 9.
Wow.
Or 8. Yeah, and Adrian and myself.
And you know, it would have been hard enough on a parent to try to raise a 10 and a 9-year-old, but my gosh, he's got twin 9-month-old sons to go with it.
But we at that time had a great community.
Sure.
The different women of the community would come in each day and help him while he would go out and work and take care of us. And, you know, things were a lot different then. You had house or homemakers that really not only cared about their homes, but they cared about the needs of others. And we had those type of people that lived around us.
So you got a lot of mamas.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people responsible for my raising.
Yeah. Where did Nadine come in? Now, that's the second wife.
That's the second one. Actually, my mother's sister, who lived in Kansas, introduced Dad to her. And then they married in 63.
So that was a couple of years then. Maybe a year and a half
after my mom died. Yeah.
And Nadine came around. Of course, she was with him till the end.
That's it.
Yeah.
Right.
Did anything else as far as work's concerned that he did or she did? We haven't talked about her employment. She worked outside the home?
Once we were up in school, middle school, or Adrian, myself, Mom took a position at the Y.
Mm-hmm.
And the Coolidge Foundation had the building on Maple Street. It was a youth center for kids to go and have activities, and they incorporated with the YMCA.
Now, that's the building where the bus garage is now. Is that right? Where all the buses park?
No. That's the building down.
That's the old Dunbar High.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the Coolidge building.
You're talking about what the Y is.
Where it is now.
Yeah, across.
Exactly.
Across from the jail. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yes.
And she worked there and was the director there for years. And ran that.
Okay.
She also, you know, was involved in church stuff, community stuff, as well as Dad. And
right.
Dad was a councilman for a while. And
oh, gosh.
They were busy. Would that have been,
do you remember, was it Woody Grove was mayor then when he was councilman?
I'm not sure who the mayor was, but I do know some of them that served on that council with him was Sam Corman.
Yeah, it could
Martin
have been,
Larry.
Well, then it could have been Shelby Combs could have been the mayor then.
Right.
All right. So, Martin and Shelby.
And Jerry Sanders.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Jerry D.
Yeah.
Good fella.
They served on council. Of course, later on, it changed to commission form of government, what it is now.
Right.
But at that time, you had council members.
Yeah, different sections of town and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So he did serve on that. Well, that's cool. What about you kids? Well, we were talking about family. Tell us about Lawrence. What did he end up going on and doing with his
Lawrence life? Ended up, he's in Louisville. He's retired now. And he worked for two companies down there, International Harvester, until they closed up. And then he retired from Roman Haas.
Okay.
And he's down there in Louisville. He has two kids. 4 grandchildren.
All right.
He's doing fine.
Good.
My sister, Diane, or Marcia, a lot of people know her as Marcia.
Mm-hmm.
She's deceased, but before she passed, she was working as an attorney for the Fayette County school system.
Yes.
And, of course, she had been in Cincinnati, lived for a while, and then came back here, worked in family court, actually, here.
Yeah, right here.
In fact,
I knew her as Diane.
Right. And once she left family court here, she worked in family court for a while in Lexington.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she passed, she was working for the Fayette County school system.
That hadn't been that long ago.
No, she's been deceased for 3 years.
Yeah.
3 years this past May.
And then Adrian.
Adrian,
you know what? He's kind of like your dad, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He just kind of into everything.
Yeah. Yeah. He has some properties that he owns and manages. And, of course, there for a while, he was in the car business as well.
Yeah.
And he also did auto body work because that's what he went to school for.
Yeah.
But he finally ended up just staying into building and managing properties, and that's what he does now.
How many children does he have?
Adrian has 2 boys.
He's got 2 boys.
Right.
All right.
And then I work for the city.
Hell, you've been with them a long time.
Retired. I retired after 31 years, and then I went back.
Couldn't stand it.
I had to go back.
Wow.
And I have 3 children. it's been an experience growing up in Nicholsville, and proud of this town. I'm proud to say I'm from Nicholsville because of the life that I've been able to have here.
Mm-hmm.
Good people here. And I just think that if you have an upbringing like I had, it's not only something to be proud of, but something to talk about. And I try to pass it on to my kids, to everyone that I come in contact, especially the way things are now with a lot of these kids.
Yeah.
They don't have a clue.
No, roots are not important anymore for
they
some
should
reason.
Be.
And they should be, but they're not.
Right.
And you know, I was telling somebody, Brian, you know, we have this Facebook page and we put a lot of pictures of the way it used to be and stuff. And I told somebody one day, I really need to go down through town and take some pictures of the way it is now, because what it is now will be what my kids remember when they're our age.
Right. Right.
You know, they're really okay. I'm kind of interested maybe a little bit in what you was when you was a kid, but they'll relate to now.
Right.
And that's the way generations are. That's
right.
Just the way it happens.
Right.
Speaking of which, we're going to do some remembering today of some different people in the community. You know, you and I, we actually weren't around when integration took place in the country. But that wasn't one of those things that happened today and next week everything was cool. I mean, it took a while for things to get better. But from what I've heard, I don't know that it was, and maybe I'm wrong, it was as violent here as it was in big cities. You know, it was maybe a little bit easier. You know, you came in as a kid. I mean, most of it had happened, but maybe remembering what your dad said or things like that. What's the take?
Well, there were some isolated incidents, of course. But I remember my dad, and there were several others that were involved in it. And they talked about how they had to bring suit against the Board of Education and go through that ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
The kids at that time weren't receiving what the other kids of this county were receiving. So that's the main reason they all got together and brought the suit. But when integration happened, my brother, my sister, a lot of other kids in the community were a part of that. And they talked about different things that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, no, there was some issues. But at the same time, he got through it.
Right.
You see, I mean, both sides, you know, pros and cons on both sides.
Right.
But it was a time, and at a time, when it was needed. It was needed in fairness to all people, blacks, whites, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's made not only this county, but the country, a stronger country for it. And that's the country we live in when it comes to our freedoms and when it comes to the things that we all are entitled to.
Right.
So, you know, my dad was, he was instrumental and very instrumental in that. And he wanted not only for us, but for all kids to have the opportunities that every child in this county, as well as in this country, has.
Speaking of education, you had a couple, well, you had one in particular, was very instrumental in that time period, was Frank Cannon.
Yes.
Who, at the time, and we're talking about senior, who at the time, I guess, was principal.
Right, at the old Nicholsville Elementary Colored School.
Yeah, and then when integration took place, I guess he was principal then, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day. The Board of Education just had the second class inducted into their Athletic Achievement Award, Hall of Fame, if you will.
Right.
And last year, I was involved with that, and last year, we were talking about people that should be in there. One of them that came to mind was, and he was inducted, was Leonard Gavell.
Right.
You know, a lot of people, when they think about integration in schools, they only think about how it was for these kids to mesh in a classroom. You got to understand, it wasn't just in the classroom. It was on the football field. You had two groups of people here that are trying to mesh in that regard also. And it was not easy. But thank goodness we had people like Leonard Cavell and some others who understood, like you just said about your dad, it's not just my kids get this, your kid, it's our kids get treated that way.
Yeah. He was, as a coach, as a teacher, he was really instrumental and helpful in bringing all of that together.
Yeah.
Miss Gladys Lewis.
Oh, yes.
Miss Roberta Miller. some of the first black teachers in this county when they integrated Miss Imogene Miller.
Well, you're naming some people there I hadn't thought
those,
about for years.
Those people not only were of need, but they really were the glue, so to speak, to kind of help bring it all together for the black community as well as not only for blacks, whites as well.
Right, right.
It's different when you have to deal with something and you've never dealt with it.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? On both sides.
On both sides.
White as well as black.
Yes, yes.
You know, but incidents, of course, happen, but you got through those and moved on.
Yeah.
Because I think the masses wanted not only a better town, but a better community. It was needed. And we offered, and I say we, I'm talking about blacks, we offered those things that could help, and not only help, but help make this community as well.
Yeah. Well, one of those is business, and we're going to talk about some of them right now. Right. Now, I'm going to mention some names, and just give me a kind of a thought about them. Louise Poindexter.
Beautician.
Yeah? Now, was her place on Maple?
On Maple Street.
Yeah.
And the front part of her house was her shop. And my sister, every Saturday, had to go and get her her hair done by Miss Louise.
Wow.
She was a great lady. Great lady.
Yeah. Sam Rayleigh.
Barber.
Yeah.
On Saturdays, that's where all the boys lined up. He was he was a good man.
Where was his good place? Man.
On Chestnut Street in the front part of his house.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he had a shop set up there. Yeah.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
Two fellas that I had the pleasure, and I knew Mr. Rayleigh, and I remember Miss Poindexter a little bit, but the two fellas that I knew really well, one because I was the same age as one of their sons, and that was the Hayden boys, Mexico and JT. And not only that, my granddad, Cecil Rowe, who's a brick mason, did some work with them.
Okay.
But they did a lot of work in the bricks and stone and
outstanding
building.
Bricklayer.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah.
Brick block, rock layers, stone layers. They were really great men at the craft.
Mm-hmm.
They hard workers.
Mm-hmm.
And really with a lot of it in the black community.
Raised
as well
big,
as in the community.
Big families and all successful.
Oh, yeah.
I was the same age as Gary.
Okay.
Who I guess would be JT's youngest child.
Yes.
I think he was the youngest.
He was.
Gary and I shared lockers at Jessamine High for, well, I guess all 4 years we were there.
Okay.
And just thought the world. In fact, I'll tell you this side story. Back several years ago, Bill Laney and myself was involved with Al Snyder in putting an FM station on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Bill and I said to him, I know somebody we can hire to do one of the air shows. He's down in Bowling Green. And he's like, who are you talking about? I said, Gary Hayden.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, let's get Gary up here and see if he'll be a DJ, because he was working at a radio station down there.
Right.
Well, I called Gary, and of course, he was very interested, and he did come to work. And I will never forget Gary's mother, Miss Hayden. Every time I would see her until the last time I saw her, she would always look at me and thank me for bringing her boy home. I'll never forget that. Always. Thanks for bringing my boy home.
Right.
But yeah, good people, the Haydens. All right. Another fella that you brought up to me that I sadly had forgotten about, but he was an outstanding man, Brown Sebastian.
Mr. Brown Sebastian was, I remember he hired Lawrence, my brother, to work with him. And Lawrence would come in every day. Of course, I was small, and talk about how hard he worked. He worked hard. Of course, he was a concrete and masonry man.
Yeah.
But he was an outstanding man so far as in the community when it comes to us kids. Men back there, you know, in those days, they really took an interest in kids.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now we deal with, seem like, kids draw or withdraw from adults and older people when they actually need to learn to understand the world as we knew it, and not only as we knew it then, but now.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't see that now. He was a great man just in how he carried himself, and those are the type of guys we looked up to.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
And they nourished us.
Sure they did. Another fellow that just came to mind as you were talking about your dad being on the council was Vivian Edwards.
Right, right.
Him, your dad, Jerry D, any of the others you can remember that were on the council? I know those three. I remember them very well. But
not that I can
remember. Vivian, of course, he drove school bus
right,
for many
years. He was my bus driver.
Yeah.
Good guy.
Yeah, he was.
And we, I'm going to tell a little story on him. We used to get mad at him because we'd pick us up right on Maple Street. We were the first stop.
Mm-hmm.
And he would pick us up, and the bus would be so cold. It was cold. He never warmed the bus up. It warmed up as we rode. We asked him, we said, Mr. Edwards said, how come the bus is cold? I just got on the bus. I just got on it. I picked y'all up. Y'all will get warm in a minute. But he was a good man.
He was a good fella.
Preaching.
Another fella that was involved in a, in his family stayed around. In fact, really good athletes. Ketchel Strauss.
Yes. Yeah, Mr. Ketchel had a, he had a trucking business.
Yeah.
Hauled for Clay Ingles for years, I think it was, Brick. Mm-hmm. And, of course, his son, Ketchel Jr., he hauled for years,
long
too.
Time.
Long
and
time.
And best I remember, he was a big basketball player. Seems
played
like.
Pro a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a pro player. I forget the team, but then he had some health problems. And,
yeah.
But, yeah, he was a great ball player at one time.
The
yeah.
Strausses.
Yeah, yeah.
Another fella called the Binghams. Man. They've been around a long time. And Sankey, he played basketball, I think, at the old...
She played under Mr. Cavell at
yeah,
the old school.
The old school.
He played high school.
Yeah.
But they were recognized as a family the other night.
Yes, they were.
It was a great honor for them. But, of course, Gino, or Paul, we call Paul Gino.
Little Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great, great guy. Great
yeah.
guy. He's gone too soon, but
yes.
He was special in the fact of how he gave back and wanted to give back to kids.
Right.
And he did that in his job as a teacher, as well as he worked 4-H camp, I think it was, for
mm-hmm. years. Yes, he did.
I forget how many consecutive years, but he loved kids. Gino was a great guy.
Let me tell you, and you know the reason he was a great guy, and so is Nicky, and so is
Vince. Oh, yeah, Vince, they are all. They all are.
And you said it a while ago. It's because they had good raising.
Yes, yes.
Sankey yeah. and Janice.
I remember in church, Faye, well, we call her Faye.
Right.
Janice
and Faye, yeah.
That she would sit them on the front row because she sung in the choir.
Mm-hmm.
And if she needed to, she'd come out of that choir and do whatever she had to do to take care of whatever problem there was. But a great family. Great family.
Yeah.
And I tell you, Gino, not only family-wise, community and everything, will be missed by this community because he added and gave so much to kids.
Sure did.
His vocation so far as teaching was with special needs kids. Mm-hmm. So it takes somebody real special.
Yes, it does.
To deal with children that have not only needs but special needs.
That's right.
He was just a unique person.
I'll tell you this one little story. I mentioned a while ago. I can remember my granddaddy Roar working with Mexico and JT and Brown in the masonry business. My grandmother Roar was a nurse's aide at Central Baptist Hospital. And she worked at that time. They didn't have 12-hour shifts. They had like 8-hour shifts. And there was a first, second, and third. And she worked the second shift. She'd go in like at 3 in the afternoon and work till 11 at night. And she drove.
Okay.
Well, there was a lady in the community on Central Avenue that didn't drive, so my grandmother would pick her up for years. They rode together to the hospital. And I always used to aggravate this woman. Bless her heart, she's gone now. But I always used to aggravate her because I would tell people in front of her, she was the very first woman to see me nude. Her name was Celia Wallace.
Okay.
And she worked in the delivery unit at Central Baptist Hospital.
Yeah.
And when I was born, Miss Celia, mm-hmm. actually, after I was born, she washed me off and put me in the swaddling clothes and the blankets and, got me all ready to be presented to my mom. And she rode with my grandmother for years. Great, great, great lady. And of course, her husband was, too.
Yeah.
Mr. Wallace, but Celia, just a special woman to us. But I always enjoyed throwing that little story out there and telling it like that and watching her and the way she would react. But just a good woman.
They were great people, good people.
Yeah,
I remember when my stepmother, Nadine,
mm-hmm.
She had cancer and she was toward the last days. And we call her Miss Celia May.
Yeah.
She wasn't in the best of health then, but she told my father, she said, I will come up and sit as long as you want me to, whenever you want me to help you out. I mean, there are just some people that have a knack and a call to that particular thing to do. And then she was a nurturer, you know, and we had all kinds of people then that helped out in other ways, not for money, not for pay.
It was community.
Yeah, because it was the thing to do.
Right.
And of course, you know, our family, and that's the way we were raised, you know, you helped.
Yeah.
Because you were helped.
That's right. You know, Brian, a year or so ago, we had a little celebration. I'm going to get to this fellow in a moment out at Locust Grove Cemetery.
Right.
And I was honored to be involved with that. And I remember saying to the crowd, if you look around Locust Grove, man, you talk about seeing names. The foundation of that community, when you look around and you see the Poindexters and the Masons and the Haydens and the Dixons and the Edwards and the Sanders and the Raleys and man, a lot. I really hadn't thought about it until that day when I was looking around at those gravestones and seeing those names and thinking this here, and everybody plays a part, but these people that I'm seeing are ones that I know that really were great foundations and helped get our county where it is today.
Right.
And just some really good people. And the reason we were there brings up another name of a fellow that when first mentioned on our Facebook page started a wildfire because, I mean, it was amazing the memories that people had, and that was Joe Pellman.
Right.
Tell me what you remember about Joe.
Mr. Joe was special. He was a special man in his own right, proud man. I remember him pulling his cart around town and doing different things. And I sold him a paper. I had a little paper out as a boy.
Yeah.
I sold the Pittsburgh Courier, and he bought one from me. And whenever I went to sell him the paper, I had to sit down. I mean, he just made you sit down, and he talked to you.
Yeah.
Now, you really had to listen to him close because sometimes you couldn't understand him.
Yeah.
But he had a whole lot to say.
From what I gather, he was a pretty smart guy, really well read.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of reading books.
But to look at him, you wouldn't know that.
No.
And I heard it over and over again, as well as you heard it. He was the Prince of Ethiopia.
Yeah.
You know, of course, as a kid, right, Mr. Joe, right. But the man was, if not of royalty, he was a royal man in his own right.
Right.
You understand?
Yes.
The thing that impressed me was how this simple life-living man meant and had the impact he had on this community, not only white as well.
Yes. Well, and, you know, we found that out when we did what we did, and I'm saying we, I'm talking about our Facebook group.
Yeah.
And for those listening that don't know what I'm talking about, he's buried at Locust Grove, and we found out that his little handmade headstone, which and that all it was a piece of masonry that had been hand-painted back, gosh, I don't know how many years ago it's been.
Several.
Yeah. Fading away, you couldn't hardly see it. And we mentioned on the Facebook page that this was in this shape and decided to try to buy him and raise money to buy him a proper headstone. We ended up having 83 people donate money from 11 different states. Now, folks, these were people who used to live here that had moved away. And a lot of white people that sent checks in with notes saying, I remember him so well. He was such a nice guy. I want to do this for him. The most moving one that I had, the most gratifying one that we got, two I will mention. We had one lady that sent me a note with a right sizable check. And she said, I have no idea who this man was. I moved in there when I was in high school. Wow. I don't remember him. I just like what you all are doing.
Wow.
And sent us a check. And it was very sizable. We were very appreciative. The next day, I got a check from a lady in Florida who used to live here. She is retired on a fixed income. And she had a check. And she said, I will never forget that man as long as I live and how nice he was. This is all I can do. I hope it helps. And it was for $5.
Wow.
That $5 meant as much as anything else we got.
Right.
But you could tell this woman truly enjoyed knowing Joe Pellman.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what's so cool about that project was the people that just came out with stories and remembrances of all walks of life.
Right.
I mean, rich and poor and everything about the impact that that guy had. And I remember saying that day, Brian, what would he think? What would he think if he could have seen the people that came out that day to honor him? This guy, if you probably didn't have much as far as money.
Right, right.
But what an impact he left. We should all leave that kind of impact.
I think he would have said, I told you I was a prince.
Yeah, and you know what's, we actually put that on the headstone.
Yeah,
he was a prince to all that knew him.
Yeah.
But man, wouldn't he be amazed? And that right there shows you don't have to be rich.
No.
You don't have to be famous. You don't have to be big. This guy was a little 4'10" guy. All you have to do is be kind, and you can have an effect on generations.
Yes, yes.
He proved it.
Yeah, I've played ball in this county. I've coached ball in this county. And I can be in Walmart or somewhere, and kid walk up and, you know, hey, Mr. Mason, how you doing? You know, how you doing, son? And, of course, I don't know who he is.
Yeah.
A lot of times I do, but sometimes I don't. And they might say, "Do you don't remember me, do you?
Yeah.
But I remember you because when you coached me, you said this. When you coached me, you did that. You know, and that's bigger than any reward you could receive.
Sure it is.
And having, whether it's a former player, student, whatever, come back and say, you did this, you meant this to me.
Right.
You know, and life worthwhile.
It is.
Because that's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
Exactly.
Well, Brian, our time has come to an end, and there are so many more
people. Thank you for having me.
Well, listen, there's so many people we could be talking about, and I'm sorry that we haven't mentioned everybody that probably needs to be, but I appreciate you coming in and sharing these memories with us. You know, this is something that we have to do. In order to secure your future, you better know your past.
Exactly.
And that's what we try to do on this program, and to remember these people who contributed, your dad, including your mom, and all that they did to make our community what it is today for us.
Right.
Because that's why you do it, and what we do today.
Exactly.
We hope will benefit those people down the road. Yes. So thanks so much for being with me.
Thank you for having me.
Well, my thanks to Brian for coming in and talking about the Mason family and what it's meant to our community. We have a special announcement. Next Saturday morning, November the 12th, will mark our 100th episode of All Things Jessamine. And we're going to do something a little special. I'm actually going to be on the air for a full hour from 11 to 12, and we're inviting anyone that has been on our show to come on by and say hello. Even if you haven't been on the show, if you like to just listen to the show, come down to the radio station on Main Street. We'd love to have you. We'll be talking to past guests about their visit and maybe even playing some sound clips from some of our past shows. The door to the radio station is between the Jessamine County PVA and the Adams Zarugian Law Office. Just come up the steps, and our studio is right there. That'll be Saturday, the 12th of November, from 11 to 12, the 100th episode of All Things Jessamine, right here on Jess FM 105.9.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.